All right, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of From My Point of View. This whole episode was recorded Tuesday, so if something happened between now and me posting it on Wednesday that I don't talk about, that's the reason. Just a little heads up. But really exciting episode this week. We have the first professional athlete on the podcast, Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Anthony Kay. He called me to discuss the ESPN 30 for 30 on Sunday and, of course, this whole debacle going on with the MLB and the MLB Players Association. Is or is there not going to be any baseball this year? If so, how many games? And he gave me his opinions on it and how he feels. So it was cool talking to Anthony. I'm glad he was able to take some time out of his day to call me. So I'll be a little bit later in the episode. But as for the rest of it, there is still other stuff to talk about. And a couple of serious things to talk about, really. And first has been this problematic shirt that Mike Gundy, the head coach of the Oklahoma State football program, he was wearing a OAR shirt, OAN shirt, which is a radio station that, it's a far right political radio station. Chuba Hubbard is their running back, and he was the one who came out and said, "This is unacceptable. I'm not going to be doing anything associated with Oklahoma State for the foreseeable future." And now there has been a video. There's two videos out now. There is a video of Hubbard and Gundy standing next to each other. And what is, I guess, supposed to be a apology video. But Gundy does not really apologize for anything other than saying he's sorry for wearing the shirt. And it seems like a lot of people noticed that. Hubbard also said they were okay. In the video, they shook hands and all that. It seemed very weird and very forced. And Paul Feinbaum was on TV today saying that it felt like it was just a publicity stunt to save face. And I tend to agree with him. I did not get the sincerest of emotions from Mike Gundy. And Mike Gundy has been one of those guys. He's pretty unforgiving. When we're talking about how he's behaved with the media and everything about talking about football. He's very unforgiving. And here it just, you don't get that vibe from him. He put out another video on his Twitter, as I'm recording this. That video got released like 10 minutes ago. And again, it's not something that feels sincere. Because there was more backlash about the video addressing the backlash from him wearing the shirt. So he has to address all that now, and he comes out and he's saying, you know, Black lives matter to me, my players matter to me, et cetera, other things. But he could very well mean it, but I mean, for all that I can read for body language, it doesn't look like he's very sincere, and it doesn't really look like he believes what he's saying. And I know that could sound very harsh because I don't know the man, and I don't know how he treats his players, his relationship with his players. This very well all could have been a mistake from wearing that shirt. And then he really does feel bad that he did that. But at the same time, why are you wearing that shirt to begin with? You know what that shirt and that radio station represents. And you are photographed wearing it anyway. This doesn't necessarily mean Mike Gundy is openly out like far right, racist, anything like that. Again, as far as anything goes right now, he's treated his players pretty well. So I don't see any other problems that have stemmed. There's no other players that have come out and said, oh, he did this to me, he said this to me. No, all the problems that are surrounding Mike Gundy right now are from wearing this stupid t-shirt. And now, stemming from that, is Hubbard and him, their video together didn't really go over so great with the general public. And now this other video, from as far as I can see from the initial reactions, Bomani Jones is not happy. He's the first guy I saw that responded to this video on my timeline. I'm sorry, but this is hilarious. It couldn't sound more forced. And he's still talking about that damn shirt and not the more important things mentioned by his players. And he's referring to his players speaking out about what that shirt means and everything. Mike Gundy said in a conference call in April that he had begun to watch OAN because they just report the news. There's no commentary. There's no opinions on this. He wants us to believe that a 52-year-old man just learned difference between news and editorial yesterday. Bomani gets it. He's criticizing other people. Stop giving the benefit of the doubt to people who don't deserve it. A great impediment to the progress has been a lack of accountability from white people. There is no accountability when everyone gets the benefit of the doubt. Stop giving the benefit of the doubt to people who don't deserve it. It really, really matters. That's Bomani Jones. When you look at it, it's like so simple, right? And I'm not defending his character or anything, but like, you know what that shirt, I really can't believe that he didn't know what that shirt would do if he was caught photographed in it. Now, he could be closeted racist, openly mean to people. I don't know what Mike Gundy's problem is, but he certainly has a lot of them now from wearing that stupid shirt. And I'm sure this isn't the last we're going to hear of this whole Mike Gundy situation. And just a quick search on Twitter, some of the things people are saying about him. Jameel Hill, another one. Mike Gundy is free to watch, listen, read, or wear whatever he wants. But if those habits make his players feel unwelcomed or that he doesn't value them, then that's on him. Freedom and freedom from consequences are two different things. Mike Gundy finds it, this is Hill again. Mike Gundy finds it, quote, refreshing to watch a, quote, news channel that called BLM a, quote, farce, push the Pizzagate conspiracy, and accused the 75-year-old Buffalo protester pushed to the ground by police of spying on them. And this is also on TV today again, Paul Feinbaum on ESPN's First Take. I want to play this clip because he holds nothing back. He really lays into Mike Gundy and the entire situation here.
Let's quit using big words to describe Mike Gundy, cognitively impaired. Mike Gundy is a buffoon. He proves that every time he opens his mouth or does anything for that matter. And Max is right. At this particular moment in history, considering everything that has been going on, to wear that t-shirt is an insult. I don't care what Mike Gundy watches on television. I don't even care what his opinion of what he watches, even though he shares it with us whenever he is given the chance. But to me, that was an insult, and that's why I applaud his players for speaking out. And I'm sorry they had that kumbaya get-together yesterday. Well, you're right, Max. The only person that apologized was the player. The person that should have looked into that camera and said, I'm sorry, I have been insensitive. I will work with you to be better, is the head football coach who makes $5 or $6 million a year, who frankly, his record doesn't even support it. But I'm not sitting here and going to throw darts at him because he's 2-13 against Oklahoma. I'll leave that to the press out there. What I am here to say is that Mike Gundy has been doing this for a long time. He continues to put his foot into his mouth every time he speaks. And that's why I firmly believe the university would be much better without him. It would cost them a lot of money, maybe $10 to $15 million to buy him out and to fire him. But I can tell you one thing. Oklahoma State would be better today if they fired Mike Gundy than to allow him to continue to embarrass the program and embarrass his players.
Mic drop. He hits the nail on the head, doesn't miss a beat, like covers everything. Mike Gundy has been, and I said he's been one who's pretty unforgiving, but says it here, always opens his mouth. And yeah, so Paul Feinbaum is, from what I've seen on Paul Feinbaum on national television, he's usually very collected. Here, he is visibly angry. Like this, he clearly does not like Mike Gundy. And you didn't have to even see him on First Take. You could just hear it in his voice. He is very, very, very upset with Mike Gundy because, I mean, quite frankly, I mean, I was going easy on him on Mike Gundy, but he is an idiot. He is an idiot, especially in everything that's going on today. You can't, like, why are you wearing that shirt? It's like a slap in the face to all of your players. So just the whole situation is, it's a bad look. Feinbaum mentioned it also. Gundy's, what did he say, 2-13 against Oklahoma? Why are you can't beat your biggest rival. Why are you keeping him around? It's not like Oklahoma State has been this super competitive elite football school for a while now. I mean, they haven't been terrible, but it's not like they've been competing for a national championship. So he might be right. Just cut ties, buy him out, and cut ties with him and move on. Regardless if Hubbard actually made up with him or not, or if that was just a publicity stunt, I don't know. All I know is it happened very quickly, the entire thing, from the picture being released to Hubbard saying he wants nothing to do with the school to him and Gundy standing next to each other, looking all forced buddy-buddy, really, and having this lame-ass apology video, and now another lame-ass apology video from Gundy. And, I mean, I'll try and be optimistic. Maybe Gundy is really sorry, and it really was a boneheaded decision, and maybe he's just that big of an idiot that he doesn't realize what that radio station or television station, whatever the hell it is, what that news station really represents and how it looks to his players that he's wearing that shirt. Maybe he is really that big of an idiot, but I can't reasonably believe that. We'll have to wait and see what else happens. If Oklahoma State forgives and forget, or if the players forgive and forget and they move on, or if Oklahoma State decides to cut ties with Gundy, which is what Feinbaum suggested. So you have college football having some problems now with Mike Gundy and relating to Black Lives Matter and or the coronavirus. Seems like every league is dealing with the ramifications. It seems like every league is dealing with both of these huge things that are affecting society. The protests and Black Lives Matter and the nonstop protests and this huge social movement for change and equality. And then the medical dilemma with the coronavirus. Two things that are at the front of society. Everyone's paying attention to these two things. The NFL was, it's seemingly the one league that hadn't been affected yet. But now, Ezekiel Elliott has tested positive for COVID-19. He's claiming HIPAA. And I don't know if it's actually pronounced HIPAA or people actually spell it out, but I'm going to say HIPAA. And what that is just the confidentiality between a patient and his doctor. That's what that is. So he tweeted out HIPAA with two question marks because he's saying that, and he had a few follow-up tweets, HIPAA, by the way. And then he said, my agent only confirmed the story was already written. Reporters had been calling my agent all morning. My agent didn't break the story to the media. So what he's saying is his doctors or someone who works with his doctors and with him and has a hold of his medical records leaked it to the press, which breaks HIPAA's codes of conduct and all that. And this is pretty significant because if you remember, I talked about it a little bit right in the beginning of quarantine. Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott were two guys who, even when the quarantine started, were still gathering around before the lockdown, hanging out at each other's houses, having dinner at each other's houses. And they swore it wasn't a big deal, that it was just less than 10 people just having some friendly dinner at having a dinner party. And they were kind of ridiculed for that. Like, you can't be doing that. It's bad. You have to stay isolated, quarantined. Like, that's the point of this. You can't be going out having dinner at each other's houses. Him and Dak Prescott. Now it's reported that he's one of very, very few NFL players, but one of the NFL players that has tested positive for the coronavirus. Easily the biggest name out of anyone who's been reported with it. Easily the biggest name, Ezekiel Elliott. So now the NFL has to deal with this blowback and these ramifications. And on top of all of that, there's the Roger Goodell and Colin Kaepernick back and forth that has continued for years now. Goodell is coming out openly saying he wants Colin Kaepernick in the league. He believes he deserves a job. Goodell is really trying to do a complete 180 and backtrack as fast as he can. But unfortunately, everything that happened all those years ago, but 4 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was, the poor handling of Colin Kaepernick and his kneeling and the protests. I don't know if he can save Colin Kaepernick's career. Unfortunately, even though when you look around the league and you look at a lot of these teams and their backups, you say, yeah, Colin Kaepernick could probably slide into one of these teams and be a much better backup than a lot of these teams have signed currently. Can he be a starter? I think he's past being a starter in this league. But he could for sure be a decent backup, more than decent backup. He'd be a mediocre starter, but he'd be an above average, even great backup quarterback to have on your roster. Now, everything that comes with that, of course, is how I feel, what I feel might be hindering him signing with the team. If Colin Kaepernick signs with an NFL team, it blows the doors wide open on media. Like, everybody is going to be coming to your facilities and your locker room and swarming Colin Kaepernick, a guy who you signed probably to be your backup quarterback in this hypothetical situation. Colin Kaepernick is signing as a backup. So if he does, all these media guys are coming to your locker room for that. You're getting a lot of attention and a lot of dissection. Did they sign Colin Kaepernick for a publicity stunt? Did they sign him because they actually think he's a good quarterback? All this, you know, there's going to be way more headlines and storylines than that going on. Now, from all reports, when Colin Kaepernick was on the 49ers, his teammates loved him. They thought he was a great teammate. He was a good quarterback. He was a good dude. So there have never been bad reports about Colin Kaepernick as a person and as a teammate. You're going to have Colin Kaepernick come to your team and be a magnet for everyone. And everyone on your team, your front office, you as the owner. When I say on your team and all that, I'm talking about as like an owner. So you have a microscope on you, your GM, the rest of your front office, your players, your head coach, all your coaches. So I guess if you really want to look at it like that and say, is it worth it to go through all this just to sign a backup quarterback? If you want to make a statement, yeah, I think it is. But a lot of owners aren't trying to make a statement. And we've seen that, obviously, because they don't want people kneeling. Or they didn't want people kneeling. Who knows? I don't know what it's going to look like this season. But hopefully, there is a season, first of all. God forbid football gets delayed because of the coronavirus. I really hope it doesn't. But things are going to shit. Sports are... I never thought in my wildest dreams that when the coronavirus broke out and people started quarantining and they suspended the seasons, the sports for NHL and NBA, and then baseball got delayed, I never thought it would be this bad. It's absolutely insane. It really, really is. And as far as the NBA goes now, we talked about the NFL. The NBA's problems are they're trying to get past the coronavirus situation. They have their plan in place, but there are more things holding up the NBA restart. And that's due to the NBA's Players Association Vice President Kyrie Irving and other guys like Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard, both on the Lakers. You have guys like them coming out and saying that maybe going to Orlando and being encased in this bubble while we play basketball isn't the best move for us as African Americans and for the Black Lives Matter movement to be doing. It's gonna, us playing basketball is going to distract from the protests and distract from the movement, and they obviously do not want that. That's what they were saying. 100% understandable. I understand where they're coming from. It's not hard to, right? You have. It seems like there is some discernible change that's going on around the country right now. And if you have these guys who have these who are essentially celebrities and these huge stars that everyone knows, if you have them take away their attention from the Black Lives Matter movement and the protests and bettering society and have them go play basketball in a bubble where they can't leave or really interact with anyone other than their teammates for whoever knows how long, like a month maybe, probably more. Could there be a regression? Like, is that going to take the public's, when basketball starts again, is it going to take the public's attention away from Black Lives Matter and the protests and just go back to the NBA and slip back into everyday normal life and then just forget about what's going on in the world? That's what they're worried about. 100% understandable. 100% understandable. However, I don't know if it's necessarily true. You have a lot of people split on this, whether they're right or they shouldn't be. Former NBA players have weighed in on it, media heads, all that stuff. What is a little confusing is you're saying, okay, you don't want to go, you being Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving saying you don't want to go, or he doesn't want to go and start playing basketball again, even though he wouldn't be playing, he'd just go support his team. He wouldn't go and play basketball again because it's going to take away the attention from Black Lives Matter. But the thing is, what everyone's real main counter argument is, and everyone being some just the people in the media who are disagreeing with him, if not now, then when? When do you go back? Because if you're not going back now because you don't want to take away the attention of Black Lives Matter, that shit's not going to fix itself overnight. So if you're not going back now, then when do you go back? how long does that take? You can't put a timetable on this, on changing society and eliminating something that's been around for hundreds of years, which is racism. So if not now, then when? Also, in my personal opinion, I am not one of the people who's like, oh, there's no sports on. I'm just going to watch the news all day, every day, because there's nothing else to watch. I'm not that person. I watch the news when national stuff happens. Bad shit, usually, which isn't good, obviously, but that's usually the only time I watch the news is when bad shit's happening, and I need to know what's going on. So if the NBA comes back, yeah, I'm watching the NBA. But wouldn't it send a message, a powerful message, if you have the players collectively come together and wear the I Can't Breathe shirts? They can protest other ways. But when they have this stage and they're on national television, wouldn't it be a smart move to use that platform to protest yourselves? If you can't, like, you could still be vocal on social media, put videos out of you talking about these issues. Like, just because you get trapped in that bubble in Orlando doesn't mean that you can't still further the cause away from that. And while you're on TV, while everyone's on TV playing basketball, so many people are going to be watching. Especially if you're going to be the first sport to come back, or one of the first sports to come back, so many people are going to be watching the NBA. You can really send a message with how many people are going to be viewing you. Obviously, I'm not a part of the NBAPA, and I don't know what's going on between them and all that, but for what it's worth, LeBron James believes he can still... I mean, first of all, LeBron James is one of the guys who he does a lot for... His community in back in Akron, Ohio, Cleveland, Los Angeles, and the African American community as a whole. LeBron James does a shit ton. There's no questioning that. He believes that he can go. He hasn't been very vocal about, like, out in the public eye being vocal on social media and stuff like that about whether they should play or not, or whether it's smart for them to sit out or play. And Stephen A. Smith, actually, on his show today, said that maybe it's a smart... LeBron might be playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers, because a couple of times he's come out, he had the whole thing with Trump, calling him a bum. A lot of times he's come out and been political, even though the Black Lives Matter movement and all this isn't political. But when he's come and been vocal about these things, a lot of people come after him. And that's where the whole shut up and dribble thing came from. So Stephen A. Smith suggested that maybe he knows he can do more damage and more of a... I don't know if damage is the word, but make more of an impact behind the scenes. While, like, pulling the strings and stuff like that, which I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. But I don't blame him for not speaking out. Because as we've seen, it's not like a black and white thing. Excuse the shitty saying, but it's not a black and white thing. A lot of people aren't. It's not one-sided, like, yes, we all have to sit out, or yes, we all have to play. Everyone's split. But the word around the NBA is that LeBron wants to play. And he wants to play. He wants to go back to Orlando, get back going, get the season back on track, and play out the playoffs. However, it has been noted by the media and I believe some players for the NBA that LeBron wants to play. Lou Williams came out and said, he's like, you guys, or not Lou Williams, excuse me, Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley came out and said, he's like, you guys can say all you want about you're not playing, but LeBron said, if LeBron said he hooping, we all hooping. And there's nothing you can do about it. So There you go. Patrick Beverly out here talking about if LeBron, whatever LeBron says goes. It's been that way for a while. And if players decide to sit out, there's not really a punishment, really. This is from Shams Charania. NBA players who have been notified that, or NBA players have been notified that any player who chooses not to play in resumed 2019-2020 season must notify his team by June 24th. Compensation would be reduced by 192.6 for each game missed. NBA players have been notified. Any player who exercises the right will not be disciplined. So they just lose some pay, which is, I mean, yeah, you got to lose something. You're not playing something you're being paid to do, so you're not going to get paid. You get some of your pay. So I guess that math works out to like a little more than 1% of their pay. Compensation would be reduced. Okay, so the NBA is not disciplining anyone who wants to sit out the resumed season, whether it's for fear of the coronavirus or taking attention away from Black Lives Matter. Smart move. It's the right move. It's the only move. Here he is again, Shams. Two categories of non-participating NBA players who will not have their salary reduced. Protected players and excused players, whom are believed to be at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19 from team/experts. June 25th deadline for excused absence. And then the last one, NBA players have been informed that anyone who leaves the Orlando campus without prior approval will be subject to 10 to 14 day self-quarantine, reduction in compensation for games missed, enhanced testing, deep nasal swab. Lot of shit going on. It's tough. It is tough for sports right now. And now I'm reading stuff about there's going to be a spike or another wave of coronavirus that potentially might lock down the entire country again. I don't know, man. I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore. I'm going to stop holding my breath until something actually happens. All right. Here is my interview with Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Anthony Kay. We talked about, again, long gone summer, the ESPN 30 for 30 that came on Sunday, and the deadlock that the MLB and the MLBPA are currently in. Let's go. So we have a special guest here on today's From My Point of View. Toronto Blue Jays pitcher Anthony Kay is with me on the phone. And Anthony, thanks so much for coming in and, well, not coming in because it's, you know, quarantine, but getting on the phone and talking with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so I know, obviously, you're a professional baseball player, so a lot of the talking points I'm sure people want to hear from you are about the situation with baseball right now and Rob Manfred's comments and all that, but I figured we start off with something a little bit lighter. On Sunday, kind of piqued a lot of people's interest. Long gone summer, ESPN 30 for 30. What were your thoughts on that? How'd you enjoy it? A lot of people, I feel like I saw a lot of reviews kind of in the middle. I don't know. Some people liked it, some people didn't, and then people fall somewhere in between. So what did you think about it?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, when we were growing up, you know, obviously we were a little too young for that part of time. You know, I mean, baseball, like, nowadays isn't like that. Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, it was just cool to watch that, you know, see how exciting baseball was back then, because, you know, I feel like you're not getting that nowadays with the game, and, you know, it doesn't captivate as many people as, you know, it should.
Yeah, I feel like nowadays our age group is really starting to kind of peel back a little bit on how hard everyone was on these guys that used performance-enhancing drugs like Bonds and McGuire and Sosa specifically. And a lot of people, I saw Trevor Bauer, obviously Trevor Bauer is like incredibly vocal on Twitter, but he said Barry Bonds is a Hall of Famer. Like, what do you think about that? I personally think, I don't know about guys, maybe like Sosa and McGuire might need a little bit more convincing, but I certainly think Bonds belongs in the Hall of Fame right now.
I mean, I think they all deserve to be in it. At, you know, I mean, obviously not, probably not first ballot, but I mean, they're such a big part of our game, and, you know, they rejuvenated baseball after that strike and all that. So, I mean, it's so hard to, you know, talk about the game of baseball and not talk about Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa that, you know, I feel like, you know, you got to have them at some point. And, you know, maybe even make, like, one of my buddies we were talking about during the documentary, maybe, like, create a separate Hall of Fame, like a little section off of it where they have, like, the steroid era guys. So, like, you know, they're not next to, you know, guys like Griffey or, like, Lou Gehrig or some guys like those, like the clean guys. But, I mean, back then, you know, they didn't get tested for it. So it's not like they were doing anything, you know, illegal for the game. It just wasn't tested for. So I feel like, you know, they really shouldn't be penalized too hard for it. And I feel like, you know, all the guys pretty much came clean with it, you know, except for Sosa. He won't really talk about it, but I feel like it's such a big part of, you know, baseball history that you got to have it in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Sosa was, he's one of those guys, like, I don't think he ever tested positive, like, he had a positive test like that, like some of the other guys, but he just kept repeating, I know, in the documentary, I'm perfectly okay, I'm happy, I'm content, like, I got my children, I got my grandchildren, I'm all good, I don't have to worry about any of that. So he really seems like he made peace with the fact that he'll never really get the recognition that he deserves. McGwire, on the other hand, he was very odd. He's just like a little bit of an obscure dude, I feel like, just because all he did, he juiced and hit balls like 450 feet. Bonds already had a Hall of Fame career before he was like noted beginning to like juice. So he's a really complicated story, I feel like, or a complicated decision. But yeah, I feel like at that point, to the executives of baseball, it's like a black mark or like a stain on the history of baseball. Whereas for people like you and me, younger generations of baseball fans and players, it's more like they cheated, but there's way more cheating that goes on base, and we've seen that over the past few years now. People still cheat, even if it doesn't mean they're using performance enhancing drugs. Like, there are still people who go around and cheat and try and win baseball games, because baseball is a very hard game to be good at. But with guys like that,
what the Astros did was 100 times worse than, you know, what those guys did in, you know, the 90s and 2000s, because, you know, the whole team knows what's coming. I think that's a lot harder to face than, you know, guys that are just juiced up.
Yeah, when there's just like those individual guys who are taking those performance enhancing drugs, and then you look what the Astros did, and they have an entire organization in on relaying signs and cheating in that way. It's certainly an apt comparison as far as which is worse and which is really more frowned upon. Like, you can argue the Astro ones is worse, but for whatever reason, these certain individual guys who entertained millions and millions of people and, like you said, brought baseball back onto the map after the strike, they're the ones who have to shoulder all that burden and stuff. So it's definitely unfortunate. I do wish we got a little bit more Sammy Sosa. I don't know if it was really because of him and his willingness to participate, or they just wanted to focus on McGwire, but I do wish we got more Sosa, because he's electric. I loved Sammy Sosa.
He's hilarious. I think so. They have a E60 on him already, so I feel like that's probably why they did a little bit more with McGwire.
E60s were elite. I want them to bring that back. I miss E60s. ESPN's original programming. Good. All right.
Yeah, ESPN does a good job with all the documentaries and stuff.
Yeah, I always find, like, every time I watch a 30 for 30... I always usually come out. This is the one negative I think I took away from this 30 for 30 is that I always usually come out of those documentaries having learned something about a situation that I knew about, but I always learned something new. With this one, it kind of felt like I didn't learn really anything. These are all things, all facts that I kind of knew, and it was just like a lot of highlights and stuff. But it's always interesting to hear from guys like McGuire and Sosa, who normally wouldn't be talking about this kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Ant. We got the MLB and MLBPA locking out. And first off, this has got to be the first summer. I don't know what you're doing. Like, are you playing any ball right now? Like recreationally? Like, or are you just working out? What's going on with you?
No, I'm just working out and, you know, trying to stay in shape, throwing every day, and, you know, there's not really much, you know, we can do.
Yeah, this has got to be, what, the first time since you started playing organized ball that you're not playing some type of baseball in the summertime?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's kind of nice, but it sucks at the same time. Like, it's nice to be able to relax and, you know, enjoy the nice weather, but, I mean, at the same time, I obviously want to be out there playing baseball, you know. But, you know, you just kind of got to sit down and wait.
Yeah, so I know last week Rob Manfredi comes out and says unequivocally, his words, that there will be baseball this year. And then, of course, yesterday he drops this bombshell that he's not sure if there's going to be baseball this year. And I saw a bunch of really notable names come out on social media with their frustrations. Trevor Bauer, of course, we mentioned him again earlier with the Barry Bonds thing, but he came out and he says that he has this whole, I can't even sum up what he said. It's like a whole 7-thread tweet of what's going on and how frustrated he is. And I saw guys like Marcus Stroman, who, again, Long Island native and the guy you were traded for. I saw him tweet out directing people to Bauer's page. Christian Yelich popped up on my timeline. So what have you talked to any of your teammates? What's the general consensus? I'm sure it's just real frustration.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's pretty much pissed off that, you know, this is taking this long. And, you know, we had the agreement in March set in place, ready to go. And then, you know, when the time came, they decided to change it up on us and, you know, try and, you know, reset everything. And I think it's just kind of a, it's just a disaster, especially with the CBA ending, I think, after next year, just leading up to it. And, you know, it's just, overall, it's just a disaster. And, like, I'm not in on any of the meetings with, you know, the owners and the Players Association, but they send us feedback, and it just doesn't sound very good.
Right. Like, I can't imagine, like, what's, it's just, the term I've been hearing thrown around a lot the past couple of days is negotiating in bad faith. That's the term that's really been everywhere that I'm seeing, from reporters to players, negotiating in bad faith. So I can't, like, imagine what is happening behind those closed doors. I'm sure it's very frustrating for everyone. And I mean, as just as a fan, from a fan perspective, it's like, it doesn't feel like summer without baseball. It feels kind of empty, and it's just a very odd situation to be in. Sports in general, and it's not even like just baseball, it's with everything right now, that it's crazy. You had these NFL players testing positive for coronavirus, and then the NBA doesn't want to, some of the players for the NBA don't want to resume. So it's just, I don't know if you could take comfort in knowing that it's not just the MLB, but it's certainly an absolute mess right now.
Yeah, I just hope they figure it out soon enough, and, you know, regardless if it's, you know, 50 games or 70 games, you know, we get to play in some sort and, you know, kind of give the fans a little something this year, even though it's not going to be a full season. I just wish we were able to figure it out a little bit earlier. And, you know, I think if we came back as, you know, being the first sport back, you know, I think they would have gained a lot of fans. And, you know, now I feel like they're just losing a lot of fans. And, you know, even myself, like, I find myself, like, not even interested in, you know, what's going on. And, you know, it's my job at the end of the day. And, like, I'm just so sick of, you know, these negotiations going back and forth, especially how they keep getting leaked to the public.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that that doesn't help. But like the people, everyone is going to be frustrated either way, whether that it's they know about the negotiations and they're bad, or they don't know and they don't know what's going on. It's just, it's a huge mess. And I know, like, so what were your thoughts? Let's think positively for a second, hypothetically positively. If there were like a 45 game season, like, yes, you're playing, but what are your thoughts on those kind of that this shortened season? And then if there is even like, is there good, there would be playoffs also, I'd assume. So having a very short season like that, we've seen teams start off like even the Nationals last year, they started off horrendously, stormed all the way back, ended up winning the World Series. You don't get something like that in a very shortened season. So what are your thoughts on maybe if they do, if you guys do come back? I know you'll be happy to play, but just the other complications that come with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be probably some weird teams in the playoffs that probably shouldn't be in there, but I mean, you just kind of got to make do. And, you know, I think it's honestly, if we only get to play 50 games, it'll be probably the most intense season that, you know, baseball will probably ever see, just because, you know, pretty much every game's going to be played like a playoff game, and you really can't take any games off. So it'll be fun to, you know, I think the intensity of baseball will pick up a little bit in the regular season, so it'll be kind of fun to see that.
Yeah, I think I really, just from my perspective, I can't imagine not having a season of baseball, because we've seen, unfortunately, the decline of baseball, because I love baseball. Obviously, that's your job and you love it, so we know how great of a sport it is. But I have a lot of friends who, they tease me because I love baseball so much. They're like, shut up, dude. Like, baseball is a dying sport. It's a dying sport. And they're really into, obviously, the football, the NFL, and the NBA, which I am too. But we grew up playing baseball. We know a lot. We watched baseball. Like, it's something that I feel like nowadays, if you're not born into it, it might be a little bit more difficult to pick up and just enjoy as a sport, rather than, I'm not even talking about playing it, but just enjoying it, watching it as a spectator sport. And for it to, if it doesn't happen this year, I can't imagine how much worse that's going to get. I don't want to think about it, but it's something that obviously needs to be talked about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you definitely see it. It's definitely, I feel like it's not as big in, you know, the United States as much as, you know, football or basketball is nowadays. And, you know, it kind of sucks to see, but it's just the reality of it. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we can get back to some sort and, you know, kind of rejuvenate it a little bit.
Yeah, and it's, baseball is, I mean, you got like the most diverse locker room in all baseball clubhouses. There's guys from the Dominican, Puerto Rico, Korea, Japan, the United States. Like, you don't find more diverse people in a locker room than baseball. And I think that kind of gets overlooked a little, just how far of a reach the sport has. So to see it just not come back, especially if the other sports come back, like the NHL obviously has their plan with canceling the season and then just doing the playoffs. The NBA has their plan, although they have their own problems going on. So if baseball is the one to get nixed and not play this year, I feel like it's probably going to be harder than the 94 season, because we talked about it. The 94 season had the 98 home run chase and everything the few years right before, and then immediately following that chase, 2 years later, Bonds obviously breaks the record also, and then also breaks the all-time home run record. So you have that steroid era, and even though it's frowned upon, it did save baseball after the 94 season. I can't imagine what's going to happen if we lose a season here.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting time, but it plays out for sure.
All right, Anthony, I'm going to let you go, but thank you so much for calling in and talking to me about this whole mess. I know it must be very frustrating for you to kind of sit back and just wait. I'd be almost as much as in dark as I am, really. I don't know, but I hope I see you on the mound soon, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Sounds good. Hopefully we get out there pretty soon.
All right, once again, Anthony Kay of the Toronto Blue Jays. Big shout out to him for calling me and getting that done. Very cool. Yeah, I hope to see him on the mound soon. I hope to see just baseball in general, because it just, we talked about it on there in our conversation. It just feels weird to not have baseball. It's just very odd. And even if, so right now Anthony mentioned they had the deal done in March and then they pulled it. A lot of people are just mad because there's going to be grievances filed by the MLBPA, and the owners are just waiting so they can get their 50 games and then pay the players a lot less. It's a whole mess that could potentially stretch out all the way to the 2022 season, because at the end, so you have all of this, and then next season, even if there's a full season, Anthony mentioned also the CBA is up. So you have the CBA expiring after the 2021 season, which could potentially lead, if negotiations are this poor to even get the season started now, then God can only imagine what it's going to be like when it comes time to negotiate an entire new CBA, collective bargaining agreement. I don't even want to think about it. I hope there's baseball, and I hope that I need something. I need something to go right, because I really don't know if baseball can survive a whole year level of lockout without any baseball, any season of baseball. But all right, that'll do it for this episode of From My Point of View. Thank you all for listening. Have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you all next Wednesday. We haven't talked in months. Fun just isn't fun. I barely even eat anymore. And we don't cry for sleep anymore. There's something I may try. This drink doesn't taste right. It wasn't like our drunk nights, drunk. Something